for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe.
Hello.
Today, we'd like to talk about men. On our past shows, we talked a lot about women and their status throughout the generations. And now we'd like to focus on men that are also influenced by the different changes that society is going through in the technological world that we live in. The men of tomorrow. This is our subject. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, we're all changing. We're all developing. On our previous show, we talked about men that are somewhat different than the macho identity that we were raised on. And you said that the more the roles change, technology changes, the roles at home change, and that also women are nowadays looking for a different kind of men. And also research shows that when the house chores are equally shared, then men that take care of the children are perceived by their spouses as sexy, and also strong women is something that men are looking for, meaning what we look in our partner for changes along with the changes that we go through as a society. And we'd like to understand, what is that more developed, advanced man that we should aspire for, that male identity that men should aspire for, is something that really makes a man a real man in the new world? I'm not talking about myself because I'm already a dinosaur. But it seems to me that a real man is one that can replace a woman in everything, at home, at work, and taking care of different things, truly so. That he's willing to do it, that he's willing to overcome himself and to do that, truly so. First and foremost, we can say that this is a man. Well, first of all, that. What does it mean to replace her in everything? Meaning, in all her chores, he's willing to replace her. I'm not talking about whether I'm willing now to become a woman and live a woman's life. It seems to me that it's really not me, and how is that possible altogether? But maybe it is possible to imagine something like that. I don't know. To the measure to which it's demanded of us to clothe in the other. This is exactly what I wanted to understand. What's demanded of a man to be able to make this kind of change, concession? Understanding? That's it. So, if the old man is very egoistic, especially feels himself, he's also egoistic today. But you're describing a man that's willing to make concessions. It's serious work that he'll have to do on himself. Work that's really above the human nature. So this is really something that I'd like to ask about. I read different questions about manliness here, and one of the things that people ask is, when we think about spirituality, we see more women going in this direction, and people say that there has to be some kind of a men's spirituality, but no one knows what that is. So I wanted to ask you, what is a manly spirituality? Manly spirituality, or men's spirituality, it means that a person could be a man, could be a woman, that they overcome their ego. In Hebrew, geva, man, comes from the word lidgabil, to overcome, and does things that are above his ego, as if the opposite of what he wants. But what does the opposite mean? That if I do something that I don't want to do it, but I do it, I'm also doing something that I don't want to do, but I do. It's also a kind of a desire of mine. But if I take the desire of my fellow man, regardless what kind of desire, and I accept the desire of the fellow man, and I realize it, that means that I'm performing an act of overcoming, that I'm a man. If a woman does the same, she's also considered a man in this respect. And if I can do it, then I'm called a woman. Meaning that if I can overcome my desire for the sake of the desire of the other, and realize the desire of the other instead of mine, then I'm considered a man, meaning that I overcame myself, meaning that I identify more with what the other feels than what I feel. That's also possible. Maybe I don't feel it, but that's what I do. Meaning I can't really understand why does someone feel what he feels, but I still identify with him. Can I give an example? You don't need an example. We have the rule of love another as thyself. Self, what does it mean? It means that I have to take the desire of my fellow man. What desire? Doesn't matter. And do what you want instead of my desire. I need an example. Well, the Torah gives us an example that I have one chair and you also want to sit down. So I give you my chair. So you have a desire to sit on a chair. I have a desire to sit on a chair. And I conceded my desire for your sake. My desire for yours. Yes. This means that I overcame. Yes. And this is considered a spiritual action? Yes. And you have no benefit as a result. You gain nothing. Only the action itself that you gave someone without getting anything in return, meaning that I don't have any kind of hidden interests here that later he'll give me something and so on. Of course, because if later you'll get something, then you're not conceding anything. So overcoming my private desire for the sake of Tal's desire, this action is considered spiritual. Yeah. And if a woman performs such an action, she actually overcame her desire. If a man performed such an action, he overcame his desire. So it's not about the sex, but what matters is the overcoming part. Yes. That I overcame my own desire and I did something for the sake of someone else. Yes. This is spiritual action, undoubtedly. So the entire field of spiritual development, if you look back at the past few decades, it's completely dominated by women. Men, they're more as if practical, realistic, you know, there's this stereotype of the successful man that makes lots of money, and then his beautiful bored wife sits at home and searches for spiritual development. Pardon all the stereotypes, but there is something like that. It's Hollywood style. Yeah. Now in practice, in life, we see that many men start developing their spiritual side, meaning they're less concerned with the things that they used to be concerned with, that they saw only dollars in their eyes, and they allow themselves to start searching and developing emotionally and so on. What's this new direction, and what does it have to do with this new manliness? With the men of the future. This tendency, it comes as a result of human development and technological development, and along with it, the general global development, ecological and so on, the development of society, the environment, the character of men and women, it's all developing as a single mechanism of nature. Did nature give this characteristic of conceding towards others and serving others to women more than to men? Naturally? No. For women, it's harder to concede. She's more connected to nature than men are. Pardon me for saying so, but what does it mean that a woman's more connected to nature? A woman's more connected to nature because she gives birth, she nurses, but these are actually things that really force her to give and devote herself. Devote herself to whom? To her offspring. Her offsprings. Okay. Yeah. That's why it's not giving. But she's more connected with nature because her entire inner physiology, it's all related to nature. And therefore, it's much harder for her to conceive than it is for men. Even though that the perception is that when a man starts searching for answers or more spiritual trajectories. We say that he's connected more to his female side, his softer side. Don't you see something feminine about it? No. Incorrect. Men were always searching to discover new continents, do different things, fly into outer space. Actually, men are drawn to it, not women, because it's the continuity of their childhood, the search, the adventure. Yeah. Girls, they sit with dolls, and boys, they want to go out, fly, riding bikes, doing stuff, obviously. And this isn't going to change in nature. You said that especially technological advancement caused us to change in the past few generations. Everything that was accepted in your generation, in your grandchild's generation, will be completely different. So I want to ask about tomorrow in terms of the male and female sides. You're saying that the world that we have to advance to is a world where people start conceding more towards each other and being less about the characterizations of these are the things that men have to do, these are the things that women have to do, but everyone opens themselves up a bit more, feeling the other, trying to fulfill their desire. Now, in tomorrow's world, there will still be men and women. In our evolution as human beings, what's going to happen with these forces, male and female forces? Because previously you also said that to overcome your desire for the sake of someone else is a manly action, but it has nothing to do with a person's sex. If a woman's developing spiritually, she performs this action. If a man does, then he does. Meaning you disconnected the sex from the action itself. Relatively. We'll have to take a few more big steps in order for us to disconnect women from birth. No, I don't want to disconnect women from birth. I don't want to be instead of them. No, it's not urgent. Okay, I'll focus my question. The male forces and the female forces. Tomorrow, they'll still exist in people. In what manner? Completion. But can you define this? Each of us will not escape to a different realm. We'll more correctly understand how nature distributed our roles and our characteristics, our internal and external manners will better and better understand each other and will become more and more willing to complete, to add to each other. That only when we're together, men and women, and we'll know how to adapt ourselves to each other, only then are we one person. Otherwise, it's not a man or a woman. None of them is a complete reality. It's half a body. Okay. In every person, whether he's a man or a woman, there are female and male forces, of course. It's like it is in nature. Okay, these male and female forces, did they exist in people 1,000 years ago too? Was it always this way? It changes, but this is exactly what I want to ask about. Today and tomorrow, what's the change? No, from one day to the next, no. If you're talking about millions of years, where you're already talking about evolution, no, I'm not talking about that. I want to ask about what's waiting ahead in terms of the male and female forces that are going to operate in tomorrow's more developed person. It doesn't matter what forces. The only difference is that person will know how to complete the opposite sex. This is what I'll know how to do. I'll get an entire method of how to achieve completion. How do I complete my half by the other half so that we'll really reach harmony? What does this completion depend on? Understanding my nature and her nature. It's a special kind of sensitivity. What is it? Not only sensitivity. What then?
It's to understand the depth of nature, my nature, her nature, even though that both of us are egoists. But how do we want to express these things? What can we concede towards each other? What should we agree on with one another? And so on. It's very high psychology that's unrelated to today's psychology. It's a more deeper inner psychology, the psychology of the soul. And people will have to study it through the depth of nature, through the wisdom of Kabbalah. And there, they'll find man and woman and divinity between them. What does it mean? The psychology of the soul. Because if we connect our souls, then from that we achieve completion, perfection. This is the completion you previously talked about, that it's something really subtle, and that this is what will develop in a person in the future, how to create these completions. Because I create a completion with my spouse, because between us, I can achieve the Creator. But does it necessarily have to be a completion between a male body and a female body in order to complete the souls? Yes. Why? Because this is how it's built, man and woman and divinity between them. But you talked about a connection on a higher level. Doesn't matter. The concept of man and woman, it doesn't begin and end with a person's physiology. It goes through man's entire stature. What's special about men and special about women in terms of their souls? Special soul, male soul, and female soul. It's like, why are we different in this world and body? Because our souls are different. Different how? That this is male and this female. But in terms of qualities, tell me, what are the differences between men and women? Everyone's trying to explain it. It's not simple. It's impossible. It's impossible. On higher degrees, it's even more complicated. I have a question. Therefore, what am I trying to say? It's not that I'm avoiding the question, but we have to learn how to do it and do it. And as it says, "Mimasecha ikarnucha," from your actions will come to know you. There's this one word repeating itself all throughout the show. There's the desire of the other, and there's completion. So if I correctly understand, the people of tomorrow, that they're more advanced how? That they develop the ability to feel someone else's desire, and they can complete them, they can concede, they can give that other person, not only to my children, but to another person. I complete her, and she completes me, and by this completion, we connect. Before that, we can't connect before that. To connect, what does that mean? Itkalelut, integration. She has to understand and know everything about me in terms of qualities, suppose, of my entire internality. I have to know everything that she has. And then, when I'll be myself and her, and she'll be herself and me, then we'll really be able to start connecting. And then what we'll get is man and woman and divinity between them, as one body. What will it give us that we don't have in our life today? The attainment of the Creator among them. The Creator being what? A higher force, a degree that's higher to their development, to the development of the man and the woman. They'll feel that they belong to the source of nature that created them, and now they connect to Him. What is this source? It's called God or the Creator. What is it? The upper force of nature. And this force creates the entire corporeality. Meaning, in this kind of connection, where they feel and completely understand and know each other, suddenly, in this mutual interaction, what happens? By each of them conceding themselves and connecting to the other, they start receiving such forces, discernments, that
give them the ability to feel the upper force that has formed them, created them. What kind of force is that? Force? How will they feel this force? What will change in their life? That they will really feel that by emotionally connecting with each other, this will bring them to connect in the upper force that's mutual for both of them. How will this change their day-to-day life? Because then they really connect as one body, as one man and one heart. And how will this be expressed? That they fully complete each other, fully understand each other. They're internally connected. They live as one man. What will they feel that I don't? They'll feel each other regardless of place, motion, time, everything together. What satisfactions will they have in life? The satisfaction that they get is that they're fulfilled by the upper force. It's a kind of satisfaction like what? Like going abroad, having a new child, buying a new apartment, making it in life. What kind of satisfaction exactly? All of these together. Can we say that they feel that love connects them? This is actually love, of course, where each is included of the other. That's called love. What does it mean to be included of the other? That I love what she has, she loves what I have, and each receives from and is included in the other. And if I don't like something about her, you'll have to work on yourself in order to like it. But I don't. You don't. Probably she doesn't like different things about me too. Why? Because she disagrees with the Creator that created you this way. We got different influences from our families, parents. No, that's not important at all. What I get from the Creator in your image, I disagree with it. With part of the things. That means that I disagree with the Creator. It's a problem. And how do we advance from this point of disagreement? We work on ourselves. How? What kind of work do we do? I have to work on myself. I have to correct myself until I'll agree with everything that she has completely. This has to do with overcoming you previously described? Yes. So what do I have to overcome? My ego. And how's this related to me? It's related to her. There are things about her that I don't like. If I'd have a return card, I'd probably, you know, give her back. What exactly do I have to overcome? There are things that I don't like about her. There are things about me that she doesn't like. Why do you dislike something about her? I don't know. I dislike some of her qualities because of your ego. Maybe. So you have to take care of it. Take care of it how? The ego? Yeah. You told me to overcome. You have to pray. Pray to the upper force that made you this way, that made her this way. No, made you this way. That you don't like everything about her because she's perfect. And then what? What do I ask of the Creator from him? For him to give you the force of correction, the force of love, the force of connection, until you accept her completely, where love covers for all crimes, till then it means that you're not in contact with the upper force. Do we have to accept things as they are, or as they are, or for him to develop as they are? As is, because the flaws you see in others, it's because of your own flaws. Even if I see that I can help my spouse advance, it's simply that I impose on him what I think is good. So maybe for him, this is the correct and good thing, and I simply don't see it. I accept him as is. But where's the motive of helping him? Suppose you're my spouse. You know how you help your spouse? By the example that you give. What kind of example? That you give, you concede everything that you have in order to accept your spouse as is. These examples sound really hard, opposite to human nature, to feel that what I see flawed in someone else, it's not a flaw in them, but it's me who sees them flawed. It seems like some kind of a metamorphosis in my perception about myself and others. Very true, mister, but this is the spiritual work of the next generation, that they'll have to do the work to overcome the completion among people, and this is what they'll be engaged in. All the rest will be done by machines, and this is what human beings will do. This is tomorrow's spiritual manliness, yes, and men and women will have to be engaged in this, regardless of their sex, yes. Many times we say that everyone has to reach the inner balance of male and female inside of him, and then he becomes more balanced. That's also true. It's oviut, coarseness, and zakut, purity. I don't know what you mean by it, but there is such a thing. I have to correct myself, prepare myself for a state where I can perceive, absorb the other. I have to, first of all, prepare myself for that. One way or another, my work is with the other. Yeah. Dr. Lightman, you said that if they'll start integrating and loving each other, then they'll start feeling that there is another force among them, the force that created them. Yes. What is that force? It's the creator, a higher force, a higher degree that created them and divided them in two on purpose, made this kind of game that they're two, that by making themselves as if into one, in desire and soul, in their different yearnings, then they discover that upper force that's before them, that's above them. It's beautiful work. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tad. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.